Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of One of These Years. This one going to be a little different, I think, than some of the recent episodes, or at least one that we haven't seen in a while. I'm, of course, Nick Baumgartner, along with Colton Pouncey, back from the Lions' disappointing, we'll say, Colton, and underperforming performance versus, I would also add, versus a better than people probably give them credit for, Bears team, but neither here nor there. Yeah. The Lions still played poor. How are we doing, Colton?
Good. Yeah, back from Chicago. Had a good trip home.
Yeah, you did anyway.
The Lions don't have a good trip to Chicago, right. But I did.
right.
Yeah, man, that was... we talked about it. Like, this is a much improved Bears team, and if you're not right and your turnovers pile up again, you can lose, and that's what happened. So they're back to kind of square one, it feels like. But, yeah, they've come along here, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those deals like, where... I guess I want to start with this one, because Campbell... actually said it after, I don't know, maybe he said it this week, that this was a game where some of their best players played really not good football and didn't play well at all. Several of them, not one, not two, like a handful of them. And I got to thinking about that, actually, and I was like, because I thought about during the game, and you're like, there's a few things that are happening here. Like, they're playing really careless with the ball all of a sudden. They're giving possessions away, and it's like they can't do that. They just cannot afford to do that right now, especially with the health and situation and everything else. But beyond that, that was concerning to see all of those guys, Hutchinson, St. Brown, and there's more if I went back through here in a second. But, I mean, it's what was your thoughts on that, Colton? I mean, a day that the best players who normally show up and are very, very sturdy weren't. And it was, for me, that was kind of alarming. I don't know. What was your thought on that? We'll start with that.
Yeah, I had that thought even before Dan Campbell said it.
It's obvious when you watch the game. I mean,
yeah,
clear.
And it was funny because I was literally going to write that story. I had talked with my editor, Allison, about it earlier in the day. Like, I just feel like the best players haven't been playing well. And then
Campbell
said it unprompted himself on Monday. And I was like, all right, there we go. just teeing it up for me there. You look at that game, really not just that game, the last few games. I mean, St. Brown's been quiet. I think he only has, five catches on his last 15 targets, for like 70 yards total. Was pretty frustrating that last game, had a few drops.
Right.
Losing to his brother probably didn't help. You had to hear him talk shit on the podcast sure, this week.
Right.
Goff, we've mentioned him, like the turnovers, man, they just keep piling up for him. And like, I guess if you want to take it like turnover by turnover, they're not all his fault. There have been some spots like the Bears game the first time around, LaPorta gets bumped off his route.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of times where he's just trying to make a play, and I guess I understand that. But at the same time, it's like the decision-making hasn't been as sharp as it was early in the season. And he's also gotten away with some plays that like probably should have been turnovers that just weren't.
Yes.
So he had a few more in this game. You look at the offensive line. I thought Taylor Decker had a really poor game, probably his worst game in a long time. Mm-hmm. He's also dealing with a back injury that kind of popped up this week.
Yeah, that's not good.
So that's not good. That probably, you know, played into that performance a little bit. But at the same time, I don't think he's been great the last few weeks. And then Aiden Hutchinson, like, it's hard to harp on that guy because he's the best defensive player they have, and he's only in his second year, and it sometimes it feels like he's been playing for 10 because he's so, you know, it gives you something at least every game in terms of pressure and whatnot. But he had some key mistakes in this game, and I think it's okay to talk about that. There's this weird discourse on Twitter when you talk about Aiden Hutchinson and...
Yeah, welcome to the Michigan Twitter, my friend. Yeah, that's what that is.
It's like, so, like, we can talk about this.
Go
like,
ahead, yes.
So I obviously cover Michigan State, and, you know, I see a lot of State fans, and, you know, I think State fans would like to, they're probably a little bit harder on him than Michigan fans.
Yeah, but,
that's certainly part of it. Michigan fans probably, you know.
It goes the other way. They're,
it goes the other way, right? They kind of protect him a little too much. So, like, I'm somewhere in the middle where it's like, I'm not a State fan. I can recognize, like, how he's playing. Like, he's been awesome this year, but... It hasn't been flawless. Like, he has missed some sacks. He has problems finishing. And that's just a product of, you know, learning in this league and getting better. But at the same time, like, I don't think he's totally removed from criticism.
No.
Like, he should be playing better. And he had two crucial mistakes in this game. The offsides, which was just inexplicable. Mm-hmm. Like, I still have no idea why he did that. And I don't think he does either. It was just a brain fart, I guess. But... it's 4th and 13. They're lining up to draw you offside. They are never snapping the ball. Justin Fields said it. Cole Kmet said it.
Right.
We had no intention of snapping that ball. And Hutchinson jumps offsides, gives him a free play. Honestly, like, I don't even blame Jerry Jacobs because, like, Jacobs is probably like, yeah, they're not snapping this ball. Like, I'm just chilling. So, like, he gives up a touchdown. All of a sudden, like, they take a lead. So there's that.
Yeah.
And then on the Justin Fields touchdown run, we learned after the game that Hutchinson just kind of
made his own call.
You know, called his own stunt there. I'm sure the defense and Aaron Glenn would have loved to have him on the edge just in case Fields, you know, broke out of the pocket and you have someone there to contain him. That didn't happen. He called his own stunt based on the look he was seeing. Offensive line kind of slid. Levi, I believe, was next to him, and Levi has been inactive, a healthy scratch for so long. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're kind of putting a guy fresh off the bench in a bad spot there. And he couldn't exactly get over to, you know, cover for Hutch on that stunt. And all of a sudden, Justin Fields recognizes that, runs, and gets untouched for a touchdown. So, like, yeah, he did not have his best game. I think it's okay to talk about that.
Yes.
We don't have to baby him. He's a pro. He knows better. He should be playing better than this, and he knows that. And so, like, we can talk about it without it being some weird Twitter discourse.
And here's what I would say, is that he needs to get back to doing what he's supposed to be doing and stop with the...
Stop with
trying to, and I get a lot of it. He's probably trying to make up, you know, pick up slack for other guys who aren't out there. You know, they're down guys right now. We just mentioned Levi's in there a lot more than we normally see him because of the rotation, which wasn't, you know, it's the same stuff every single time they get into a rush situation where he gets a pressure off the edge. Somebody else maybe even gets one too. The quarterback steps up and there's absolutely nothing right in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Happens every single time when Aleem's not in there because you just don't have anybody unless Benito Jones maybe kills a guy, which happens now and again, right? He's playing okay. But yeah. It's a frustrating thing, and I think that maybe, if I'm guessing here, that Hutchinson has probably taken some of that onto his own plate and said, I'm just going to try to take the game over. To hell with this. We're playing a guy in Fields that I know that I can square up against and I can run with him a little bit. He's not going to – not long term, but you know what I mean? In a box – he's proven in the meetings before that he can make a play against him. He's made a few over the years. And with Justin, all you have to do sometimes is make one and you can get off the field. If the Bears are playing pretty well, doesn't matter. He'll screw something up and you can, you know what I mean? So I almost wonder if he took it upon himself to try to be, you know, hero Hutchinson here in this game. And it's like, that's the difference between, and this is the fair criticism. The difference between Aiden Hutchinson and Micah Parsons is Micah Parsons can do that and take a game over and wreck it. Aiden can't. That's not him.
Right.
That's just not him. He is at his best, and he is dominant as a player in this when he's just doing what they ask him to do. When he's just playing his look, you know, doing what he's supposed to be doing, beating his man, occupying a double, doing what he's supposed to be doing, every single time it shows up, and it helps, and it's the full team. When they were playing their best ball last year, it's what he was doing. He wasn't doing anything else. A lot of his sacks just came as a result of he was just there, and the quarterback, you know what I mean?
Right place.
Yeah, I saw. For sure. Not that I want to get down on him for doing stuff like this, but I saw a spin move in this game from him that I haven't seen really much before. And it, you know, it kind of worked, but that's also one where I'm like, Aiden, no, stop. Just play football. Just play football now, because you're down all these guys. It's you, Jack Campbell, Brian Branch, and like a handful left. You just got to do your job and try to get off the field that way, not let's take it all on top for ourselves. The going into business for yourself deal at the end to try to get a sack just cannot happen. Like, you know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of Jim Harbaugh in the 80s checking to a play with Mike Ditka that resulted in a pick six. And it was one of these things that Ditka was just like, if you ever do this again. And it's like, sometimes a guy just gets too hot. And I think Aiden is absolutely guilty of that. I know he is over the years. It's rarely burned him ever. It probably never has until this game. And yeah, it was maybe a check for him. He needed something like that, probably.
I think so. And, like, the thing with Aiden is that you could tell he's been frustrated the last month or so.
Exactly.
The lack of sacks.
Yeah.
It's on his mind. He gets asked about it every week, like, after games, in the locker room, on Wednesdays or Thursdays whenever he talks. And it's like, I'm sure that's getting to him.
Cut his hair, for God's sake.
Like that, yeah. In a game like that, where you're just trying to make a play.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a crucial situation. You need to stop. Like, a touchdown kind of puts the game away, basically, the way the Lions are playing. I'm sure he just was like, this is Aiden Hutchinson time. This is where,
exactly,
yes, this is where we're going to stop.
Right. Right. I'm going to blow the game up.
Yeah. But, buddy, like, I know, I think if he had better talent around him,
yeah,
that's,
it's not right.
That's something you can do, but I don't think the Lions are there yet.
Not right now.
And
with the health.
Not right now. And, like, I also, it's tough because he's such a good player and he's been the most reliable player on this team. And, like, the coaches trust him, mm-hmm, to kind of get them in the right fronts and whatnot. But at the same time, in a situation like that, I think you just have to recognize, you know, what's happening in front of you. We've got this mobile quarterback in Justin Fields. Maybe if you're playing Derek Carr, you can pull something like
right.
that. You're not playing him. You're playing Justin Fields, who can easily escape and get outside. So if one thing goes wrong, like, your defensive tackle gets locked up and inside in the interior on a stunt, all of a sudden Fields can escape, and that's what happened. So I don't know if that really went through his head in the moment. Obviously, there's a lot going on. But I'll say this, like, the coaches were not happy.
No, they shouldn't have.
Campbell was asked about it, and I think Campbell was trying to protect him a little bit too. Like, he didn't mention, he said someone was supposed to be out there, and that was, like, his initial response.
Yeah.
And then left it at that. And then in the locker room, Hutchinson was damn near in tears, I feel like, watching the video back.
Because he knew.
Talking about, yeah, just the play and how frustrated he was. And, you know, he made the wrong call. He said he put his teammate in a bad spot, and that was all on him. And that was accountability that you want to see. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the coaches were not pleased, and Aaron Glenn was kind of talking about it again the other day. So it was a mistake, man. Like, it's that simple. I think he'll learn from it. He'll move on. The coaching staff will move on as well. But, like, it did cost him some points. It cost him, you know, an opportunity to get back in the game. I don't want to say it's all on him, because it's not.
Like, well, of course not.
Poorly across the field. But in a game like that, where you're already kind of struggling, going through a rough patch, it just kind of highlights things, I guess. And just the fact that things weren't going your way.
This is why our show, I feel like, is different here, because this is a high-level conversation about a star player. This is a star conversation that we're having here. It's not a conversation of this guy sucks and isn't getting the job done or isn't doing the things that he needs to do and all this. And if you looked at the game and just looked at the stats and even the analytics, that he still had a good game. Still had, like, what, five or six pressures, all this. This is a different conversation here. Right, a sack. He broke his sack skid, all this. The conversation that you're having about Aiden Hutchinson has to be now, because he's proven that he is a guy that gets extra attention every week. Other teams plan for him. I believe his peers voted him into the top, whatever it was, when the season started. We know he can play in this league and hang in this league. And on this defense, he's their best player, right? When you're down all of these guys now, and it's guys up front and guys in the middle, and Anzalone got back this week, but I don't know if he was right, because he didn't play well either. And then obviously you got guys in the back that are hurt. when you're down all these guys, and he did this in college, this happened to him all the time. When you're down everybody, at some point, it's got to just be hold your ground and do everything that you're asked and just hold the fort. Just hold the fort and be as dominant as you can in your individual matchups and just do that and not anything else. And it, when he starts in with, trying to stunt inside on that guard that he blew up earlier in the game because he knew he could get a matchup on him. No, it's not. And that's the time and place. And you mentioned it with the quarterback you're playing, but it's also the situation with the roster. And that's probably why Aaron Glenn's disappointed or upset and still bothered about it, because it's like, man, we probably thought you were ready to handle that as a player and not go overboard with it and, you know, take it too far. And he did. And so I think with Aiden, having watched him now for 100 years, it seems like, typically, you do not see, this is the trait of the Dan Campbell teams, it's a trait of Hutchinson too. You don't see back-to-back bad days from him. You don't see repeated mistakes from him. So I would be curious to, I would think the response is going to be pretty good, but also, he's got to find a way to calibrate it, right? Because it can't be hair on fire all the time now, especially with these guys hurt. He's got to play more disciplined and just, if that means eating three blocks, then he's got to eat three blocks. Just deal with it. And if people are bitching about the sacks, who gives a shit? Whatever. Doesn't matter. Because you're getting off the field, you know what I mean? One way or the other, that's what you're doing to try to help your team get off the field. And that's what he needs to do now.
I agree, and I think this is a good reset for him.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was the culmination of just a month of frustration for him where he's just like, I just got to make a play. Like, my team relies on me to make plays. I haven't made plays in a while. I got to make a play in a situation. And like, look, man. Like, you're doing everything you can out there. I think most people understand that. Most smart people will realize Aiden Hutchinson is not a problem on this team. But if you are playing out of structure, that's one thing this coaching staff absolutely
can't have it, man. Especially now. You can't. Right.
You need, and this, what struck me as interesting is Dan Campbell, I believe after this game, made a point to emphasize the fact that this defense needs everything working together,
right?
Everything working in tandem.
Perfect.
If one person's out of place, the whole thing can get wrecked. And he said that a couple times now, and every time he says it, my ears kind of perk up because it kind of shows you how he feels about the defense.
It's where
and
they're
sometimes
at.
Sometimes why he's more, why he's like tougher on the offense is because he knows that offense, and we talked about this a few times. He knows that offense is in a better spot than defense. They're more equipped to kind of handle the pressure and take over games than the defense is. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you hear him talk about the defense and how, look, man, we need all 11 guys working together. If one thing's out of place, this whole thing can go downhill. There's some truth in that. And so, like, I understand wanting to make a play. I understand wanting to, you know, break out of your slump a little bit there. But there's a time and a place for everything. And I think that's something he'll understand. And he didn't seem too rattled when we talked to him in the locker room yesterday.
Right.
He seemed to understand. Honestly, he was like, I thought I had a pretty good game outside of a couple of mistakes.
Well,
and
right,
he did.
Yeah.
But it's funny that, I mean, it absolutely overshadowed the fact that he broke his sack slump. Like, it was in the backfield, like, quite a bit. Like, I noticed he was kind of flashing there. But you have two mistakes like that, man. Like, just own up to it and move on. And I think he did. And, you know, I think the Lions were doing the same.
Well, he owned up to it immediately, which was what you want to see, right? Immediately after the game. Yeah. He says it in the locker room to you guys. And I'm sure that they've talked about it all week, you know, early in the week and everything else. But it's those two plays, yeah, he did have a good game, but those two plays resulted in touchdowns or scores. And that's the hard part for the Lions in a game like this. And again, I want to say to everyone who's watching this, the Bears are a better team than they were a month ago, certainly, in all areas. Fields is playing better. You know, I don't know if it's a dunk still that they take a quarterback, you know, when this whole thing goes over again. They could take Marvin.
Definitely more of a conversation.
Right, yeah. I mean, I just did a Cardinals mock draft randomly because we're starting with some of that stuff because they have all these picks and everything. And, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know what the Bears are going to do. They could do a few different things here. They could take Marvin. They could trade down again if they want. I mean, if you think they're playing better in a lot of areas, especially defensively. However, though, in a game like that, even with all the guys out for Detroit, Aiden's got to be on his P's and Q's because they played well enough to win the game, I think, otherwise. Jack Campbell still played pretty well in this game. You know what I mean? You got good efforts from all the guys that we've talked about that have struggled. Like, they did okay. They hung in. They, like, you know, they didn't. It was kind of what we've talked about, right? Where it's like, they do a good, Aaron Glenn's guys usually do a pretty good job of just hanging in, when its chips are down, your back's against the wall. And that's the disappointing thing, because Aiden pretty much did that, except for two really big spots and a few others too, where he tries to take it into his own hands and just get everybody off the field. And it's like, you cannot do that. Not today, not in this situation, not when everybody's hurt, not like this. You know, maybe in the playoffs, if you get guys back, then do it. But not now, and that's the disappointing thing, that he's very good at flushing the stuff and moving on as an athlete and everything else, but that's the disappointing part, is the growth for him now to turn to the next level as a player, to be the true superstar, and I think he's pretty much going to get there anyway, is understanding the whole thing. It's not just understanding what's going on in the game and in the moment and all that. It's keeping the context of what we're doing as a team this week in the here and now. And it can't, you know, either it can't happen this week or it can't happen. And that's the stuff that I feel like he's close, but maybe not quite there.
The fact that he has been so good so early in his career, I feel like has sort of skewed expectations, I think.
Probably.
In a way that, like, you forget that he's in his second season.
Right.
Like, it feels like he's playing
15th year,
like 7-8 years. He feels like a veteran in this league. And
yeah,
it's like,
we've all seen him so much locally. Still, yeah, I feel like that's the issue.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it too, right? It's like, oh, he was so down in Michigan. He comes in as a rookie and has success. And now it's a second year. There's some hiccups along the way. And it's like, what the hell is wrong with Aiden? Why isn't he playing better? And it's like, I don't know. He doesn't have much help. And he's still a young player learning this league. And I think what you just mentioned, kind of the situational awareness, is still coming along. And he's allowed to have slip-ups along the way.
Yeah.
Like, no one's a finished product, really, in their second year. So I feel like that's important context as well. And the other thing I'll say is, like, I would say he's still a tier below the Miles Garrett's of the world, the Michael Parsons. Like, and the other thing is, I feel like, you know, when you have a player draft number two overall, there's going to be expectations. And that's something Aaron Glenn mentioned, and that's something that Hutch is just going to have to live with, like the status of being a number two overall pick. But not all number two overall picks are built the same.
Right.
You know, like some draft classes are different. Like, I think people saw, oh, we're getting a defensive end second overall and assumed that Hutch was Miles Garrett. And Hutch is not Miles Garrett. There's only one Miles Garrett in the world, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's not the one-man game wrecker. He can impact games when he's on and things are working around him. But he's not, like, unblockable, you know, this guy that's going to get to the quarterback and have this, you know, crazy win rate. Like, he's playing within his game. And I think the more talent the Lions add around him, the better he'll be.
I agree with that.
But if you're expecting him to kind of be this Parsons, Garrett, I think he's a tier below. The pressures are still there. He's still impacting games. Not in the way that people want to see with sacks, but I do think that's coming along and that's in his future if Lions keep adding around him.
The one thing I would add to that is I think he can be what Max Crosby is in that he can't. And I think that the difference between a guy like Max and Aiden is that Crosby's been around long enough now and he has the understanding, like we just talked about, of everything. It's the whole thing. He understands football at every level and everything they're trying to do. There's not any lapse there or gap or whatever you want to call it from a young player anymore. It's all out the door. He knows what he's doing at all times and it's all, you know, from just being a really good football player. Aiden is still sort of becoming that, and I think when he gets to that point, I do think, and I wouldn't have said this even on draft day when they drafted him. I said this the whole year, that his pass rush is going to be limited. The reason why you take him and the reason why he's the number one edge on all the boards, on my board and everyone else's that year, not everyone's, I guess, because he didn't go one, was his run defense and his awareness and when he just plays football, because it's going to come. He's going to become a better pass rusher when he learns the trick of the trade, when he goes around the block two or three times and he can see everything. He's going to become a better everything when he learns how to just play within structure and play within himself. And it's all going to come in time because he's too good of an athlete and too good of a player. He's going to end most years with numbers that you're going to say pretty good, Pro Bowl level, and that's what Aiden is going to be. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, is he going to be a 25 sack guy? No. No.
No.
And
that was never his name.
No one said that he was. So, and I think that's important to, you know, probably keep in mind as well.
I've seen people with the way Hutch has played, and we'll move on after this, I'm sure, but like, they bring, I don't know why Lions fans do this. They always love to play like the revisionist history and go back and say, we should have taken so-and-so after, you know, the slightest bit of adversity from one of their draft picks, where now there's discussions between, oh, we should have taken Kayvon instead of Hutch.
Yeah.
And
right.
Well, Kayvon has 11.5 sacks.
No. Yes.
Kayvon's playing next to Dexter Lawrence, ladies and gentlemen. That is a very good player.
Right.
He's got a lot of help on that Giants defense. Aiden does not. So I would say we don't have to make that comparison. We really don't. Hutch is a great player. He's going to be a great player for a long time for the Lions.
Yeah.
Just have some patience, I guess, so he still works on his pass rush repertoire.
Yeah, I think everyone needs to take a breath on that one. And the other side...
I've seen him, man.
Because the Kayvon thing, I'm not going to listen to that one. That's nonsense. If you look at all the...
It's out there,
if you look at everything else, and you look at the... Even Aiden's win rate this year has been better than, you know, we've seen.
He's got, like, double the pressures of Kayvon.
Yeah. It's not even a conversation. I don't even know what else to say in that one. That's people grasping at straws. Like, I had a guy, I don't want to pick on the guy, but I had a guy yesterday, I put out a clip of the double trap that they ran with Laporta on the fullback play. And I wrote that it looked like the crunch run that they run. It's called crunch. And a guy just tweets at me, well, the Bears called out crunch on the TV play, and they knew what it was. That means Johnson is being predictable. I'm like, well, they didn't run crunch. I'm like, what are you talking about? I tweeted a clip of crunch from like the Atlanta game, and he's like, they found it. The Bears, they ran it against the Bears, and the Bears called it out and snuffed it. I'm like, no, they didn't. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, yeah, you're just complaining to complain now at this point. And a lot of you, yeah, you can go back on Twitter and find it. And a lot of you are doing this, and you're just running around, and you're being mad, and like that sort of stuff. Yes, the comparing. If we're gonna go back 3 years and start the whole like. Maybe they should have drafted a different player instead of Aiden Hutchinson. Like, stop. Listen to what you're saying and stop at that point, right?
There's still some Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, like, that's yeah. too much, okay? That's way too much, and that's whatever. Did he have a bad day? Yeah, he did. Like, and he still had 6 pressures or whatever it was, but for his, and that's what we're talking about. Because he's a star-level player. He's a Pro Bowl player. I don't know what else to say. Flip the ball to the other side here. Because they also had problems on the other side of the ball, too, probably more than you'd like for a team that didn't need to have it, especially Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know how many drops that he ended up with in this game, but it was more than I've ever seen from him.
He was credited with 2, but it felt closer to 3 or 4.
Felt like 4 to me, and he probably takes credit for 4. That was the worst stretch of his career as a pro, period. Yeah. That was the worst game of his career as a pro, I'll say, when we have the full thing to look back. I mean, there was a time in the second half where I was like, I had to stop and be like, what am I watching here? What is happening? Yeah. Is he okay? Is he sick? Like, that was shocking to see in some ways because we have seen nothing but, like, so much consistency from him. And not that Amon-Ra lost them the game either, but, like, you know, like, those all add up too in a game like that. And that to me was more shocking to see than Aiden having some hiccups. That was like, what the hell's going on? And it's also not the first time this season that he's had a couple hiccups like this. I don't know.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yeah, I think I tweeted when St. Brown's dropping passes like
it's
this.
It's a bad day.
It's not your day. Yeah, right. Even though there are plenty of signs that this was not their day. At the end of the game, you're just like, yeah, this is not in the cards. Yeah, that was not his best game for sure. He caught 3 of 9 targets for 21 yards. Again, was credited with 2 drops, but it felt like 3 or 4.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, that's weird.
And then Goff's passer rating when targeting St. Brown that game was 45.1, which I believe was the second lowest passer rating when targeted of St. Brown's career. So not a great day. That's a guy that has been frustrated of late. Like even the Saints game where he caught a touchdown but was pretty quiet otherwise, and they were kind of keying in on him a little bit more, which allowed Sam LaPorta to do some things in that game. Even with that, like we asked him in the locker room, like, is that a sign of respect when you get that increased attention? Is it frustrating? He's like, both.
Yeah.
Both, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, it's a sign of respect, but like, I want the ball. Like, I want to make plays for my team. And when I can't, that kind of frustrates me. So he was already feeling a little frustrated. Then he's playing his brother's team.
Yeah.
His brother was inactive, I think, was hurt or something. But
still,
he hates losing to his brother.
It really does.
Because he just knows that they hop on that podcast and they talk their shit together. And like, it's hilarious. It's super entertaining. But St. Brown is such a competitor. You know he hates that. And like,
jeez.
Again, yeah. Factor in that he didn't have his best game, one of the worst games of his career.
Yeah, it was the worst, and, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's probably pretty pissed off. He might talk today. I'm not sure. He didn't talk yesterday in the locker room. But yeah, man. Like, I'm sure he's pissed off.
Yeah.
And that's probably a good thing, and that's something Campbell, like Campbell's quote about his best players needing to play their best, to me, obviously, it's pretty obvious when you're watching it, but I think it was also like a subtle message to his players through us.
Yeah.
His quote was, here's the most encouraging thing about what happened yesterday. Some of our best players on the team did not play well, and that's encouraging going into this one because those are prideful guys, and those are our dudes. And believe me, those guys are going to come back, no different than us as coaches. We're going to be at our best. I just know what kind of locker room we've got, what kind of players, and we will respond. So, like, when he said that, my initial thought went to St. Brown because prideful guys, yeah, that dude is a very prideful guy. He hates whenever he drops a pass, and he dropped, like, 3 or 4 in this game. So, yeah, I think he's going to try to get more involved, and I'm sure the offense will try to get him more involved anyway, but I would expect him to have a bounce-back game this week.
This is the same conversation that we're having with Hutchinson on the other side, where you have a guy that has now elevated himself, and more so with St. Brown, there's more evidence to this. He's elevated himself to a level that he's now, you know, an everyday Pro Bowl-level player that everyone has to prepare for and everyone has to scheme against, and everyone knows, you know, they made so much money, more or less, last year running, like, 3 concepts with him that, you know, that people just forgot about or weren't really keying on or were caught in weird situations and they just bing, bing, bing all the time. And there were plenty of those in this game that Chicago did a really good job of taking away. Like I talked about, they're getting better. And I don't know if they're going to blow up that staff. I don't know if they're going to fire it. The offensive staff might get a tweak, but I don't know if they're going to blow up that defensive staff. They're getting better. I could see they took away some of those bang 8 posts that they run, like the run to St. Brown in the middle of the field. They did that more than once. So he's right in that. He's getting more attention. He's getting different stuff thrown at him, and they're understanding, especially on third down, you know, or in second and short, or second and medium when he likes to look for him, that, you know, these are the things that they like to get. So it's the frustrating thing that Hutchinson's dealing with in a similar manner of you're getting more attention and more is asked of you. You have to deliver. And when you don't, it stands out even more. And we cannot win like that. Like, that's the ultimate message from the team. And, yeah, I almost wonder who took it harder from the two. It's probably St. Brown. But it is a good question. And I do feel like it wouldn't have shocked me, knowing those guys a bit, if privately they maybe even have said something to the team. You know, like, look, that was a shit game for me. And it's not going to happen again. And, you know, like, we'll be okay here or whatever. Because both of them, I think, would probably be okay saying that, because that was way under their level. Like, Amon-Ra, that was not... When you said earlier about when you were just saying it all, like, adding it all up, it's like, well, obviously, it was a perfect storm for him to have a bad day, and he did. He had everything went wrong. It was one of those... I think it was like, it wasn't even the last drop. It was like the second to last one where you're like, what the hell's going on? And the camera zoomed in on his face and he looked miserable. And you were just, and not like mad like he gets, but like miserable. Like a guy that didn't want to be there, which I've never seen from him. So that was his worst day. And I would agree with Campbell. I would believe that you're probably going to see a pretty good effort from both of those guys. Back to what got them here, probably. You know what I mean? Doing exactly what they're asked and doing it really, really well.
So let me ask you this. Do you think the Bears are just a bad matchup for the Lions, the way their defense is built? Or do you think some teams around the league have kind of identified ways to, rein in the offense?
I think the latter. I think that there's things that the Bears... Well, maybe a little bit of both. The Bears, I think, are getting better generally as a team. I don't think it's a bad matchup for the Lions. I think they're just getting better, and they have some good linebackers, right, to take away some stuff in the middle of the field. So maybe in that sense, Lions like to work the middle like that. But I do think that what's happening here, and I talked to Chris a little bit about this during the game on Sunday, teams have definitely started to key in on what Ben Johnson likes to do in the really critical spots. And there are some themes to that, you know what I mean? Like, there are some concepts that they, like I said last year, you could almost predict when they get into third and four, third and five, they're going to go 2x2, and they're going to run that return route with Reynolds and the looky route with St. Brown. And they were going to get it 7 times out of 10, because teams either, you know what I mean? And so that stuff's being taken away now. They've had to adjust on a lot of different things, and they've done a good job of that, but I also feel like they're trying to find or maybe rediscover what they're super comfortable with now that teams are taking away the things they weren't comfortable with, right? Goff went through this in L.A. with McVay, and it didn't go well because, obviously, it didn't go well. They tried to adjust, and Sean lost his mind, and the whole thing went to hell. That's not what's happening here, because the Lions didn't get here on a gimmick, in a sense, because the Rams at the time, if you go back, were kind of gimmicked, and they evolved their offense and won Super Bowl, the whole thing. But this has become, and I sensed it during the game Sunday, the whole offense has just turned into this weird, they're running all sorts of stuff that sort of ties together and sort of doesn't, and maybe it's too much, and maybe it's, I don't know, it feels like too much still, you know what I mean? Like, I could be wrong there, but it feels like they're still sort of they're all in this same weird spot, ironically, in this show. Ben Johnson's in the same spot that Amon-Ra is in and Hutchinson's in. Young guys who've come up and now you're not surprising anybody anymore. And I'm not saying he's been predictable, but I am saying I think he's overthought some things. They've overdone it in some certain cases. They haven't quite found their comfortable air that we're used to them seeing because teams have adjusted. So I do think that's a big part of it. I don't think it's as much Chicago. I think Chicago just played a really good game and they played well and they've got young guys that clearly listened to what, the game plan and took some things away that made them uncomfortable. When you have a quarterback like Jared Goff that doesn't make plays off schedule, you know what I mean? It becomes, everything's got to work. And that's when Campbell, I think he even said that again, and people took that maybe out of context where they're like, well, I thought we had enough talent, and now you're saying that everything has to work. Well, that's just how they play, right? It's how they play.
Yeah. When I watch the offense and their struggles, I think everything still comes back to the offensive line.
Sure. And that's not Decker's best game, like you said.
Not Decker's best game. You're missing Frank. Like, you got guys playing out of position. So I understand the want to give him a pass, but that's the most important unit on this offense to me because there's such a trickle-down effect when they aren't playing well. Mm-hmm. And I pulled up – I listed the entire offensive line, and when I wrote a story this week about players needing to play the best players needing to play their best football. Because the numbers kind of speak to how important that group is. Mm-hmm. I looked at some of the numbers when Goff is under pressure versus in a clean pocket. So per PFF, Goff's turnover-worthy play rate under pressure is 5.9%, which is tied for the 8th highest among quarterbacks. When facing pressure, Goff has thrown 4 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, And those 8 interceptions are the second most in the NFL under pressure.
Right.
And his passer rating under pressure is 58.8, which is 27th out of 39 qualified quarterbacks. Now, when kept clean, it's night and day, as you would imagine. Goff's turnover-worthy throw rate is 0.9%, which is the second best mark among qualified quarterbacks in a clean pocket. His passer rating is 111.3 when kept clean, which is third in the league. And he's thrown 17 of his 21 touchdowns and only 2 of his 10 interceptions when kept clean. So 17 touchdowns, 2 picks when kept clean. So that, I mean, if we know what Goff is.
Yeah, that's what he's always been.
We know that Goff is a guy that has to have everything around him perfect.
It does, yeah.
And when it's not perfect, he can struggle and the turnovers can rack up and he's not the same quarterback. And I think it's okay to have that conversation because we're just being honest. We're just being real. The data throughout his career has pointed to that fact.
Yeah.
And so when the offensive line isn't playing its best, they're not protecting him and they're giving up sacks. You know, Goff looks rattled out there and all of a sudden he's not looking confident, stepping into throws and delivering the ball where it needs to go and overthinking and holding the ball too long and taking sacks. And then the offense, as a result, kind of crumbles. There's a reason in the second half of that game, the Lions did not score a point. Mm-hmm. It's because the pressure turned up. The second half, these are their possessions in the second half. Punt, 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 fumble, turnover and downs, interception. End of game.
Yeah.
That's, if you're not, like, that's where they're at right now. And, like, yeah, it's one game, but at the same time,
it's been like
the offensive line, I don't think, has been playing well. And I think the offense has struggled as a result. They've been very consistent. There's sometimes where they're looking good in the first half, and you're like, all right, yeah, this is more the offense that I'm used to. And then just, like, turns to shit for a little bit there. It's like the consistency has escaped them for a long time. I think that goes back to the offensive line. That's why I think it's important to get Frank healthy. Sounds like he's going to play this week.
That's a big deal.
Decker. I think they had an estimated practice report on Tuesday because of the short week. So he was out of that practice report, did not practice. But he was out there on the field on Wednesday. I would expect him to be out there again today on Thursday. So it sounds like he'll be able to bounce back and play through the back injury. But, yeah, man, they need this offensive line to be healthy going to the playoffs. That's the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, Decker's had back injuries problems before, like bad ones, so that's a little concerning. I would probably be really careful with that, but at the same time, like, they don't have another left tackle. That's the Panay, but like it becomes even harder on the right side, right? So then the bigger one is Frank. That's really the one that they can't really play the way that they want to play without him, period. It's hard to do. And as good as Graham has been in all those roles, he's best at a guard at this point in his career. And you know, I guess if you played him at center the whole year, maybe he'd make an argument with that, but that's not what you're asking him to do. So, yeah, Frank is the big one that, you know, really has to get healthy here because they're not going to be able to play the way they want, obviously, if he can't. And I would even look at that and say, you do what you can to make sure they're healthy. You got to get the playoffs first, obviously. But at the same time, you know, certain things have to happen. What do you do when they take away, you know, the stuff that you're comfortable with in your pass game? Some of the stuff has to start changing a little bit. And I would say that, you know, Jameson Williams has to start becoming more involved. I think he has to start expanding, or they have to start expanding what they ask him to do. I think Jahmyr Gibbs has to become more involved as well in non-rushing situations because, you know, what do you do? I mean, you look at everything that you know, teams are taking away, some of the stuff that you've really relied on. Okay, well, you've got these other weapons that they haven't seen as much. Start finding some other ways to get them involved, and then all of a sudden, bang, what do you know, we're going to go back to this thing that you forgot about, right? You know what I mean? So, I mean, you got to get people off the scent a little bit, and I think the good news for Detroit is that they've got some guys that can do that. It's now a matter of trusting them and letting them do it. I think Jameson is the one that people are probably, if they're frustrated, they probably have a right to be, because we need to see a little bit more. He's earned, I think, more. Would we agree? I think he's earned probably a more, I don't know what you would say, but like more calls that he's maybe a primary or a secondary on, right? That sort of thing. I don't know.
I agree. No, and like someone actually cut up all of JMO's routes from the Bears game.
Oh, well.
And they're all like deep posts and like go around.
And he's getting up there on a couple of them too. And it's like, yeah,
he is. You know, so. But it almost looks like Goff is never looking his way. And like, even J-Mo looks a little lackadaisical. Like, he's he knows I'm going to run this route. It's not going to get to me. And even if it does get to me, it might be underthrown.
Yeah, it's not going to make it.
It almost looks like he's taken, like, there's just so out of sync. And I think that's why we've talked about the stuff over the middle, give him some drag routes, you know, just crossers, something to get him the ball in space and just let him go. Because right now, with the way the offensive line is playing, Goff doesn't really have a lot of time to survey the field like that,
right,
which is why he's just getting out quick to his playmakers and letting them go to work. But those JMO routes, like, all the deep stuff, he's a decoy out there.
Yep.
Like, I don't think it's any other way to play.
So the thing you got to do, and this is what they don't want to do, right? This is what they've been nervous to do, is put him in the slot opposite Amon-Ra and let him run the same routes that St. Brown runs and make teams make a choice. But that means that Goff has to trust Jameson to be there on time and to catch the ball, because those are the routes where you have turnovers. Those are the ones, and that's why St. Brown has been worth all he's been worth to them, is because they make so much money over the middle of the field on those, like, intermediate, you know, those bang posts and the slants and everything else that he runs off those option routes. And he catches everything in traffic, you know, with two guys on him, linebacker coming, doesn't care, catches the ball and still gets yak. Like, Jameson, when they've tried to do that in camp and in practices that we've seen, it's been a disaster. So that's why they don't do it. But there's the big but. Like, he has been better. And whether or not they have to do something, right? I think all things are adding to that. It's time to see something more here and see if he can handle some of it.
The JMO we saw in practice is not the JMO out there today.
Exactly.
So I think he's earned the right to kind of get more involved in those routes and be a bigger focal point in the offense.
Yeah. And I think they need it too. You know, I think that's the biggest part, and that's the biggest thing here, is that they need something more, because some of the reasons why, you know, St. Brown needs to catch the ball, obviously, like, that's a big part of this. If he catches the ball and executes in those spots, we're not probably talking about it this as much, but we still are talking about it, because those things have been taken away some, as you mentioned. Those guys are getting frustrated for a reason on offense. Some things have been adjusted to, and we'll see how this goes. Denver coming in quickly here before, I know we got access coming up here. They got a nice win last week over a sinking ship in, with the Chargers, who are maybe, that's Brandon Staley, that might have been it for him, as Herbert is done for the year with a finger.
Yeah.
He is cooked for sure, so that could be coach watch soon here, maybe the first one, we'll see. But Denver, you talk about a team that, you talk about people that aren't the same as they were in September, Denver's not the same as they were in September. This is not the same team that gave up 70, whatever it was, to Miami, certainly not. You know, Russ is still Russ in a lot of ways, and this is still a very winnable football game, but it's the same exact thing that we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, right? With the Saints, the Bears, and now Denver. You've got players on this team that if you mess around and don't play well, they have more than enough to beat you. Denver's the same exact situation.
Yeah, and they're a team that has something to play for. I mean,
they're not
7-6 and one game... They're one game back in that division.
That's right. That division sucks, right? Yeah.
It's bad. Chiefs have not looked good of late. They're complaining about every call that doesn't go their way, and
that's not good either.
Yeah. All of a sudden, they're one game back in that AFC West division. What they've won? What, 5 out of 6?
They've been playing really well. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been playing some really good football. Actually, one thing I learned: our Broncos writer Nick Kosminer kind of told me that Denver is using the Lions as an example.
But they are.
Sean Payton, when they were 1-4, 1-5, whatever they were, Sean Payton said, look at the Lions last year. They were 1-6, and they turned things around and almost made the playoffs. Why can't that be us? And so that was sort of the conversation back there, and they've obviously turned things around and have a winning record now, and they're 7-6, and now they're playing this Lions team. And Campbell said, Sean Payton's going to come here and try to embarrass me. And so, like... We can't let that happen. That has to be priority number one. We have to kind of get this one. And he said, I don't care. I think Campbell's mindset right now is just win.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's by 1 point. I don't care if it's a sexy win. Just give us a win in the win column, and that'll push us closer to our playoff goal, our NFC North Division goal, and we'll be set. If they win this game, they actually have a chance
to clinch this weekend. Right. We're now into nut cutting time here. They can actually clinch, correct? Yes. Tell us. There's like 100 scenarios.
There are. I think the easiest, simplest scenario is the Lions win, the Seahawks lose, and the Seahawks are playing the Eagles.
Right.
So that's
yep.
The Eagles are probably
and pissed off. They played
row,
bad so. Last week, yeah.
Yeah. So the Seahawks lose that to the Eagles. They would just need one of Minnesota, Green Bay, or the LA Rams to lose. And the Lions clinch a playoff spot.
Pretty good.
So, one out of three, the Seahawks lose, and you win, you're in the playoffs. Officially.
Yeah. Take care of that.
Good spot.
Take care of that. And like, but if you keep losing these games, as everyone knows, no one has to be reminded, right? As time goes on, that gets harder and harder, and, you know, everything changes. However, the Giants helped them a little bit last week. If people continue to panic, they're still 9-4, and I think the percentage has gone up from what you even said last week. It was 96% last week. I think it's even higher now on, like, the predictor of them getting in. But more importantly, you want to get in, and you want to not back in. You want to get in. You want to, like, be in, get a seed, make sure that you're in a good spot. That's still all on the table here. Still all there, right? As rough as it has been and has not been their best ball these last couple weeks, they still have to find ways to get through these things. But I do think, you know, this is a good opportunity for them to show a lot about who they are. The whole coming in to embarrass us thing seems like Campbell is probably going to be keyed up for this game. I don't know what that's all about. It feels like he's probably
a little
keyed up. But in any event, you got anything else there, Colton, before we get out of here this week?
No, I mean, yeah, the simplest way for the Lions to clinch a playoff spot, we just mentioned that, but also to win the division, you win the next two, you beat the Broncos, mm-hmm. you beat the Vikings, you clinch the North.
Yeah, and then that's it.
That's
right. And then we don't worry about anything else, and then you move on to the playoffs. Yeah, exactly. So that's simple, and it's time to focus in and see what happens here as the season is getting shorter. Colton, of course, will be there this weekend to break it all down, and we'll be back next week to talk about Dan Campbell versus his mentor, Sean Payton, Broncos coming in. This might be the last Russ trip. I don't know. We'll see what happens with Russ. I was just watching some Denver stuff before we, and there was a throw he missed in that game that was like, this is one of the worst missed wide open touchdown thing. It was really not good. But they still won the game 24-7. Russ is finding a way. So on we go with that. What are you going to say?
If they play efficient, like,
yeah.
They don't turn the ball over. They force, I think they're number one and
take. Right, they just kind of hang in. Yeah.
That's their game. That's like the Lions' kryptonite. So
right.
I'm saying this now. If they lose this, I'm not surprised because they kind of match up well. But, you know, we'll talk about that next
week. We will. We'll see how it goes next week, of course. We'll be here again. Thanks for listening, as always. Be good to each other, and we'll talk to you later.